Certainly a joy to be with you throughout the day, and especially here on Mother's Day, such a special day. I'm going to read a few verses with you, beginning in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm sure you're going to pick the theme of tonight's message out fairly quickly here. Isaiah chapter 40, reading at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then looking at a verse in Psalm 40, Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And then Psalm 27 is our last reading. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May I ask you tonight, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? We want to think about this idea of having to wait. Usually, we're not good waiters, are we? We like to have things now, and we like to be aggressive in what we think is ours, and we're not good waiters. Some are better than others. Maybe women are better than men, but the jury is still out on that one. What we're waiting for often dictates what characterizes our life today. For example, there may be a young person that's waiting for graduation, and their life would be characterized by going to classes and studying and spending great sums of money to get an education, some of which they will never use the rest of their life. There may be some that are waiting to get married. And so their thoughts and what characterizes their life is this idea of being married and what it's going to be like, and the whole idea of putting a wedding together and the reception and the hall and the wedding party and all those kinds of things. There may be some that are waiting to have children. And what would characterize their life? Perhaps getting the nursery ready and buying furniture and all those kinds of things, because that's what they're waiting for. Maybe some are waiting to go on a vacation. And their life, part of it anyway, is characterized by looking at the magazines and seeing what is out there to visit while they're on vacation. So life often revolves around what we're waiting for. And of course, we are such a complex society that there's many things, perhaps, that we're waiting for. And those things would all characterize our life today. But I want to think with you tonight a little bit about this matter of waiting in the context of waiting on the Lord. If we are truly waiting on the Lord, it's going to have a significant effect on our life today. If we are waiting on the Lord, it's going to have a significant effect on our life today. We might ask the question, why should we wait on the Lord? Well, let me supply a few answers. First, that waiting is a God character. It's part of the character of God because he is long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. God has always wanted a people who would love him, who would have a relationship with him, who would have fellowship with him, and so he created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve and God had tremendous fellowship in the beginning. God would come down in the cool of the evening and fellowship with Adam and Eve. What a marvelous time that would be. It was all new for all of them. Well, we know what happened. Sin came in. And that fellowship and that relationship was broken. And so thus began the long restoration process where God would once again desire to come into relationship with His created beings. On the cross is where God really did the work of restoration through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was there that He died for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that our sins might be removed, that they might be remembered no more, that they might be dumped into the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you, is the picture that we see of the work of Christ on the cross. That's God's plan, that you and I might find forgiveness of sins and have that fellowship and relationship restored that was broken because sin came into the world. Well, God waited some 4,000 years. That restoration work of God was 4,000 years before His Son came. In 1 Peter 3 and 20, it gives another little snapshot of how God is long-suffering. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing. You see, from the time of Genesis 6 where God looked down and became so disgusted, absolutely disgusted at sin, it was 120 years before He dropped the judgment of the flood on His created people. God is long-suffering. God waited through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He waited through generation after disobedient generation. He waited through prophets. He waited through judgment. He waited for His people to turn from their sins. He waited through their complaints and through their conspiracies, and He patiently waited. And at just the right time, He sent forth His Son, born of a woman, predicted in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. And God has waited for you. I wonder if He's still waiting tonight. See, the picture of the Lord is stretched out hands, waiting for you to come to Him to have your sins forgiven that you might be saved. And those of us that are saved, how long did He have to wait for you? How long did He show His truth to you? Many of us were saved as children, so the time is very limited. But for 9 years, I went to Sunday school, and I went to the meetings, and I was surrounded by Christians all around me. And finally, at 9 years old, I came to know the Lord. I wonder how long He waited for you. So it's not unreasonable then, if it's part of God's character, for us to wait for Him. Secondly, there's great value in waiting. It allows God time to do what God has to do. We pray, we wait. And it allows God to do a work, perhaps moving people and circumstances and situations so that our prayers might be answered. In our assembly was a young man named Kevin, and he had a good friend named Terry. Kevin and Terry became very, very close friends through their common love for the sport of rowing. They met in high school. Kevin grew up in a Christian home. He attended Camp Lilolai. He professed to be saved and was baptized in our assembly. But Terry grew up in a non-Christian home, and he was not saved. And I have no doubt that Kevin prayed for Terry. And I know for certain that Kevin's parents often brought in a request that the assembly would pray for Terry. Well, as their high school days came to an end, Kevin was a good enough athlete that he went off to row for Canada in the Olympics. Terry didn't make it. And so he ended up going off to university. Well, he went out to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And wouldn't you know it, his roommate was a Christian. Didn't know who he was going to have for a roommate. His roommate was a Christian. Well, he finished off his degree in Montreal at McGill. And once again, many Christians came across his path. And then when he graduated, he came back to St. Catharines. And he came out to Brockview Bible Chapel on a particular Sunday. And I happened to be speaking. And I spoke from Romans chapter 1 to 3. And in the morning we looked at from the very worst of sinners until the very best of sinners. But the bottom line is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I was finished at night, I went and I sat down in the pew and I felt a little tap on my shoulder. And it was Terry. And he said, I'm the sinner that you were talking about this morning, and I want to be saved. And we went in the back room, and Terry accepted the Lord. Wonderful. Those prayers that went up over 4 years or 5 years of high school, it took time. God took him out to the east. He met people here, there, and everywhere. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. His first impression was that, well, religion's good for Kevin and his parents and sort of that other group that Terry didn't know much about that Kevin spent time at. It was okay for them. But he was good in himself. He didn't need. But the Lord soon showed him that he too needed a Savior. God may be working this very evening. He may be moving in circumstances and situations, changing things, so that your prayers may be answered. We need to wait on the Lord. Waiting can be a protection for us. You see, when it takes time, we begin to see the field perhaps from a different location. That thing that looks like an absolutely impossible task that's standing right in front of us, when we wait upon the Lord, perhaps we see things just a little bit differently. And so it acts as a bit of a protection for us. You remember the story of Israel as they came to the place and time where the Red Sea lay before them, and as they looked behind them, the Egyptians were marching up and they had blood in their eyes. What to do? What to do? Well, God told them through Moses what to do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm sure a lot of them thought, we're going to die. We're going to die out here in the wilderness. But God says, wait. Now, the natural thing, of course, would be to run or to fight. But these were a bunch of slipshod slaves from Egypt. How were they going to fight against the armies of Egypt? And running is just not an option. And so they waited. And God opened up the Red Sea Highway and took them straight across. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Waiting allows us to renew our strength, we read in Isaiah 40. In the face of some of the most draining circumstances, Isaiah would write, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, I can't remember a time when God's people have been going through such difficult circumstances, at least in the circle of Christians that I am involved in. I have never seen a time when so many Christians, individuals, and families have been going through such difficult circumstances. Situations where the cause and the cure are completely out of their hands. There's absolutely nothing they can do about the situation that they're in. Due to the extreme nature of the situation, their strength in some cases is almost gone. Absolutely emotionally drained. But in the face of impossible, unimaginable circumstances, where all hope seems to be lost, Isaiah says, the God, the source of all strength, never faints, and he is never weary. Isaiah compares trying to handle some of these most difficult circumstances in our own strength as to young men. You know, young men think they're invincible, that they can just about do everything, including flying. I've got a couple of boys, and if you go out mountain biking with them, you know, there are times you come to the edge of the hill and they go racing down on a hill that I would just get off and walk down. And I've done a lot of riding in my day. But they think they're invincible, that there's nothing they can't do. But Isaiah says, the youth, they fall and they faint. And if we try to handle some of these circumstances in our own strength, we too will fall and faint. But God wants to give power to the faint of heart. He wants to give strength to those who have no might of their own. And what is the secret? It's to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we face challenges that are so bleak and dark and hopeless. They weigh us down. They rob us of the joy of the Lord. They rob us of the usefulness of ourselves in the work of God because of the circumstances that we sometimes face. And the problem very often is, well, we just focus on the problem in front of us. And we don't see the God who has all power. All we seem to do is focus in on the problem that we have to deal with. The secret is to wait upon the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is not just sitting still, going into a dark room and closing the door behind us. I want to suggest that waiting on the Lord means to commit our lives to Him no matter what. To make a decision that I am going to commit my life to the Lord no matter what happens, I'm going to give it to Him. To wait on the Lord is to go forward in faith. You know, sometimes there's still mouths to feed. We have a problem, we don't know what the solution is, and we got to deal with it, and we don't know what to deal with, but life has to go on. We have to go to our job, and we have to work, and we have to bring food home, and we have to pay our bills, but we go forward in faith, that we have committed, no matter what happens, to the Lord, and then we go on in faith. And thirdly, we trust His guidance. We trust His guidance. That when He reveals to us what we need to do, then we better do it. Sometimes God's divine guidance is common sense. That's hard to say, isn't it? We look for some deep theological answers to a lot of our problems, but sometimes God's guidance, divine guidance, is common sense. I wake up in the morning, I enjoy my breakfast, I brush my teeth, and I go out to the car on my way to work, and I have a flat tire. Oh no, a flat tire. Why do I have a flat tire? Why is it happening to me? And you can get angry, and you can kick the tire. And you go in, and you kick the dog on the way in, and you rant and you rave, and you wake everybody up in the house, but you still have a flat tire. Nothing has changed. Not one thing has changed. So what do you do? Oh, well, I have a flat tire. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that we bounce around like some charismatic, praise the Lord, I've got a flat tire. But the common sense is what we have to do. It could be worse. There are worse things than a flat tire. Maybe it saved me from an accident. We don't know. Common sense says, well, if I'm on my way to work, maybe I should call and let them know I'm going to be late. Get some roadside assistance. Come and fix my tire. Or perhaps God has given us guidance through the past, and we know how to fix the tire. And we go about doing it. We may ask the question, why me? Why is this happening to me? And you know what the answer may be? Because. That might be the answer. Because. Why is this happening to me? There's no other reason than just because. After the crisis is over, you know, the sun's going to shine, and the birds are going to sing, and God still loves us. There are times when the answer is not common sense. And it really requires some supernatural help. Some things we just have no control over. And we have to fall back on the Word of God that says, my grace is sufficient for thee. There may be dark days that we are called to go through that we cannot see the other end. And we have to come back to the Word of God that my grace is sufficient for thee. They that wait shall renew their strength. They that wait shall renew their strength. Strength renewed to serve. Where once we felt that we were going through the valley of the shadow of death, that it couldn't get any worse, when we wait upon the Lord, we will sit at His table that's prepared for us. Psalm 23. When we wait upon the Lord, our strength will be renewed to fight. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the enemy that we can't even see. And it may be that enemy that's gaining an edge on us. And we wait upon the Lord, and our strength is renewed to fight another day. We get up in the morning, and we need to put on our armor. It's a daily practice, that we might have strength to stand against the opposition. Then our strength is renewed to resist temptation. We wait upon the Lord. There's so much temptation out there. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're out to get us. They're out to trip us up. Very often, if we go at them in our own strength, they will trip us up and we will fall. But as we wait for His strength, we might resist temptation. James 4 and 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we wait upon the Lord, our strength is renewed to bear our own burdens and perhaps the burdens of others. We read in Galatians 6 and 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. What a sense of satisfaction with you and the Lord to be able to carry your burden. What a sense of satisfaction. The Lord is with me and He's carried me through this difficulty. And our strength is renewed to bear our burdens. But you know, sometimes there are others who face the same storm that we've just passed through with the Lord, and they're not able to bear that burden. And so we're told in Galatians that we need to come alongside. We mentioned that this morning. Sometimes we need to come alongside and see if we can share that burden a little bit and help them through that storm. It may be physical, it may be financial, it may be a listening ear, but we who are spiritual are called to come alongside sometimes. And it says, we've waited upon the Lord, that our strength is there to do that. Strength comes as we wait on the Lord. Verse 31 goes on to say, when we wait on the Lord and our strength is renewed, we're going to mount up on wings like eagles. Eagles are beautiful creatures, aren't they? There's a certain majesty and power about an eagle as it swoops up. Just seems to be so effortlessly dealing with the forces of gravity that are trying to pull it down. Sometimes life deals us some pretty big heartbreaks. Tragedies. These that can break our resilience. tragedies and heartbreaks that can break our endurance and our nerve. And we can choose to live in those circumstances, allowing them to push us down and down and down. That's what we talked about this morning, the courageous Shunammite woman who chose to rise above what may have torn her apart. She rose up on wings like eagles. We can choose to soar above the difficulties. Think of Fanny Crosby, a woman who lived in blindness, wrote hundreds, yea, thousands of hymns. Some, I'm sure, are in our hymn book here. Isaiah says, as we wait and our strength is renewed, we will again run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. But there's a key here that we need to remember. This is a spiritual choice. To run, to walk, and to not faint. To soar like an eagle above our circumstance, that's a spiritual choice. This is what a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. This is real Christianity. This is where the rubber meets the road. This isn't some hypothetical situation. When you're in the dark and when you're going through tragedy, to start to apply what the Word of God has taught us, this is real Christianity, isn't it? But Galatians goes on to tell us that if it's a spiritual choice, there's going to be an enemy to that, and it's called our flesh. Our flesh is going to be opposed to that kind of a choice. Our flesh would rather live in unbelief, to live in pride, to live in self-confidence that I don't need any help, I can do this on my own. And our flesh is going to war against the Spirit. We said that waiting on the Lord was committing our lives to Christ no matter what. Well, the flesh isn't going to like that. And the flesh is going to war against that. To carry on by faith, the flesh isn't going to like that. And it's going to war against the choice, to live by faith. And then to trust in His guidance, the flesh is going to tell us that, how can you do that? To believe in something you can't see. And so the flesh is going to war against it. This really is mature Christianity, isn't it? This is not philosophy 101. This is not some academic discussion about what it means to be a Christian. When we're in this kind of situation, we need to apply what the Word of God has taught us and the power that's in the Lord. So we've seen, it's a God thing to wait, that there's real value in waiting. And thirdly, it's seen by example in some of the great people of God. We read concerning David in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, because I waited upon the Lord. He put my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, because I waited upon the Lord. Job would say in the 14th chapter, all the days of my appointed time I will wait. Jeremiah said, it is good for a man to quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Jacob says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And it was Simeon who it was promised that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And what of Joseph? Joseph, who had a dream that his brothers and his father would bow down to him one day. And he believed that. What do you think was going through his mind as he was at the bottom of that pit and he heard his brothers up there discussing how they were going to get rid of him? Or down at Potiphar's house, or in prison, forsaken in prison. But he waited upon the Lord, and he became second in command of all of Egypt. Well, how should we wait? There are times that we need to wait silently, that we need to enjoy communion with the Lord. Psalm 62:1. There's something wonderful about spending quiet time alone with Christ. With all the hustle and the bustle of life, the responsibilities, we need to come apart and to rest a while. The Lord had to do it. He went up into the mountains to be alone. And He suggested that if we can't find a place in our home that's quiet, we better find a closet to go into. Sometimes we need to wait observantly to hear His voice. Proverbs 8:33-34. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed or happy is the man that heareth me, watching and waiting at my doors. It's not enough just to sit and by our actions say, well, Lord, the ball is in your court. I'm just going to sit here and wait and see what you do with it. That's not good enough. We need to listen and we need to watch, for these are a part of waiting. We need to wait expectantly, Isaiah 33:2. Lord, we have waited for Thee, and I've interjected in there, that's what You asked us to do, Lord. So then, be gracious to us, be our salvation in time of trouble. We need to wait expectantly, knowing that the Lord is in control. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We can expect Him to deal with our problem when we cast our care upon Him, when we can't carry it, and we give it to Him. We can expect that He's going to deal with it. And then we need to wait obediently to receive direction. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. On Thee do I wait all the day. Waiting is not just a principle. It is a command. We need to learn to be good waiters. So what are you waiting for? Waiting for graduation, waiting for marriage, waiting for a job, waiting for vacation, waiting for next week's paycheck. You know, of far more significance is to wait on the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ made a promise that He would return. Are you waiting patiently for that return? 1 Corinthians, we read, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to return to the clouds, just as He said He would. Remember John 14, He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. Of course, we know in Acts 1, as He stood there, this company of believers there with the Lord, they just watched the liftoff as He slowly went up, and their eyes followed Him up, and the clouds just engulfed Him, and He was gone. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He promised if He left, He would come again. Those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a beautiful promise that is. What effect does that have on you today? We said if you're waiting, it's going to have an effect. You remember the Thessalonians, they were so focused on the fact that Christ was going to come back, some of them had even quit their jobs. And they went out there, you know, basically said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, the apostle says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, that might not be the best thing to do. Don't just quit your job waiting for the Lord coming. But there must be a balance, right? There must be a balance. He could come tonight. There is absolutely no reason why the Lord couldn't come tonight. But He might not come in your lifetime. So the problem is, if we're not looking for His coming, if we're not looking with expectancy, we can become careless in our Christian lives. If we sort of put out the fact that the Lord could come back and it's just sort of a theoretical thing, it's not even a real principle that affects my life today, we can become very careless in our Christian life. You know, if my wife and I go away for a weekend, we can be absolutely assured that our kids won't do one dish while we are gone, until about an hour before they think we're coming home. There may be several young people come through the house. It may be a disaster. But because they think and they know that we're coming home Sunday night, that's about the time they start to clean the house up. But if they don't know how long we're going to be gone, if they don't know if we're gone for an hour or a day or 2 days, they live way more careful. They don't have an accumulation of junk. They keep short accounts. So what are you waiting for? Are you passionately waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Are you waiting for God to do a work in your life? If you are, it's going to be seen in the way you live your life today. For the thing that we're waiting for is going to characterize our life today. If you're waiting for the Lord's return, you're going to be ever so careful on the places you go, the things that you look at, the music that you hear. All of those things are going to be taken into account if the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. Where do you want to be when He returns? You see how it's going to make us live more carefully. So they that wait upon the Lord will live carefully. They will wait expectantly, and they will watch fervently. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You may be going through difficult times tonight. There may be situations in your life that look like there's no answers. So bleak and so dark. I don't know your situation. But I know believers that are going through those kinds of waters tonight. Some help is supernatural and can only come from God. And sometimes that's the only alternative we got, is to go to Him. And so tonight, if you're going through dark waters and deep waters, may you wait upon the Lord. May you commit, no matter what happens to Him, to go forward in faith and to depend on His guidance. And the Lord will bless. Let's pray.